back again. This week, we will take a look at chapter 3, where we get to, I guess, it's not, is it the good stuff, right? If you're talking about the felling of the world, it's really good stuff, but it's definitely an important part of our story. So,
my eyes are working.
As before, or as always, rather, I just want to read through this and simultaneously let it wash over you, but also pay close attention. There's so much going on in this chapter. So, I don't know. Someone want to... Let's see, how many verses do we have here? There's a couple. Does someone want to read this? Yeah, it's so short. We'll read this for us.
Where are we?
Chapter 3.
Is it matter what version?
The version that you've got is the version.
All right. May I read?
Go for it.
Thank you. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You must not eat of it or touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent told the woman, "for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom, she took the fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed together fig leaves and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the breeze of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" "I heard your voice in the garden," he replied, "and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." "Who told you that you were naked?" asked the Lord God. "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man answered, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied, "and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and every beast of the field. On your belly will you go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Continue.
Sure.
"To the woman he said, 'I will sharply increase your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat, cursed is the ground because of you. Through toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will yield for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your bread until you return to the ground, because out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return.' And Adam named his wife Eve, because she would be the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. So he drove out the man and stationed cherubim on the east side of the Garden of Eden, along with a whirling sword of flame to guard the way to the tree of life."
There is a lot in that.
I just,
this is the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, so lots and lots and lots going on here, and this again is one of those passages that everybody knows, and therefore nobody actually reads or pays attention to. What stands out for you? I was thinking about doing a pop quiz, but whatever. Yeah.
So Satan's talking to Eve, and the serpent is talking to Eve, and you assume that she and the serpent are alone, but then it seems like she literally just turns around and gives the fruit to Adam, or she goes after the fruit and he's with her, and then she turns and gives it to Adam. And it's like, wait a minute, where did he come from? He just like goes along with the plan?
I think he was there the whole time.
So I'm trying to find the verse. Sorry.
So this, I've written a word here, blocking.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, so it's all about her. And then all of a sudden, she also gave some of it to her husband, who was with her. Like, does with her mean, like, right there present? Or
maybe
with
he was daydreaming. He just wasn't paying any attention. All of a sudden, he's like, hey, what?
Shirley,
sorry, I was watching the game.
Yeah, that scene right there is very important. That detail is very important. Because it directly relates us to something that we talked about last week. Which, by the way, who is?
I know,
that was literally the answer to your question.
I was going to ask you about it afterwards.
So, let's chat about this. When you are reading the story, one of the best Sunday school teachers I ever had was the drama department chair at our undergrad, and when he would read in the Bible, like, he's thinking about it from the perspective of stagecraft, and so he's, you know, he said, like, when you read these stories, you need to be thinking about them in terms of who's actually standing where, who is talking to whom, what the circumstances are, and I have found that to be one of the most important aspects of good reading. I think we just tend to read words on the page and characters just sort of drop in out of thin air, and then they talk and then they vanish, and we don't really think about what people or what individuals are doing. And in this scene, basically, it really is important. So let's talk a little bit about the man and the woman. They're clearly, well, how does this temptation occur? So you've got the serpent, and we classically read this as, you know, Satan or the devil or something like that, but the passage doesn't say that. It just says the serpent. Now, there are other passages that give us some additional context for this, but at this point we just see that it's the serpent, whatever that means. But where are they standing when this takes place? Like, think about it.
Seems like they're in the Garden of Eden.
Well, they're clearly in the garden, but
it's probably within view of the tree they're not supposed to touch.
I mean, if you're having a conversation about this tree here, that means that the couple are standing right there by this tree. Like, they're just there. They're there.
She allows the serpent to put doubt in her mind. Like, is that what God said?
Okay.
Are you going to die? She allows the serpent to manipulate her in a way that says, you know what, yeah, it's okay to eat it because we're going to gain knowledge. We're going to be as God. That's the wrong thing you can do. When God said it clearly, you do not take from that. You can eat of the other trees, but not that one in particular.
Okay.
And so I think being human, right away, here's this beautiful tree. more than ever do we want to have a piece of that fruit.
Okay, so again, there's so much going on in this chapter. I want to call your attention, so we'll keep the blocky thing on the table, so to speak. You know, I've heard so many people say things like, if you speak to the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, this is not something that typically is widely articulated, but it is embedded in the theology, that Adam was off doing his own thing. This scene occurs between the serpent and Eve, and then she goes back and delivers the fruit, you know, not an apple, obviously, because we wouldn't have apples. people don't think about that, why it's an apple, right? It's not an apple, it's not anything that we would have access to. So there's an idea that the two are separate during this scene, but the text makes it crystal clear the two are together when this whole interchange takes place. The dude is not separate. He's just silent. He's not in the scene in terms of dialogue, but in terms of set blocking, he's standing right there the whole time. So what is the essence of temptation? And I've said before that, you know, people say things like, oh, you know, sometimes the best lies have a little bit of truth in them. The best lies are completely true. They're completely true. They're just given in the wrong context. Mm. If you think about the essence of temptation, I think we can see no better example than the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, right? So Satan is not giving temptations to Christ that fall outside of his, right? You tempt a person where they're at. You know, I couldn't tempt any of you to sprout your wings and take a lap around the room because you don't have it in you to do this, right? Temptation doesn't mean anything apart from something that you're not already inclined to do, naturally. So think about this. What exactly does the serpent say about the tree, about what it does, and about the human being in relation to God?
So I think verse 6 is pretty clear.
Okay.
Because it kind of sums all of that up in a sense. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree, that it was good for food, so that's what we want.
Right.
We want
God didn't
good.
Make something that was not good for food. Right?
That it was pleasing to the eye.
Okay.
And that it was desirable for gaining wisdom.
Right.
She took some and ate it, which was so she's right there. She also gave some to her husband who was with her.
Right.
And he ate it.
Okay, so I guess consider this. If you are, going back to this, if you are truly in the image and likeness of God, then what is your highest purpose? Forget the temptation bit. What is your ultimate objective?
To please God?
Please God.
To be like God.
To be like the thing in which you are the image.
Knowledge. Gain more knowledge.
To gain more everything.
Yes.
Pertaining to the divine. So, in an ironic way, this tree actually does what the serpent says it will do. Mm-hmm. The serpent is telling the truth. And in a way, the serpent is also telling the truth about you won't die, because they don't die yet, right? They don't fall dead when they eat it. They stay perfectly alive. I mean, they're not perfect, right? So it is true. And later, God says they have become more like us. So the serpent doesn't lie. The serpent tells the truth. Every single thing the serpent says is true from a certain point of view, right? So I think that, you know, we have this idea that, and, you know, maybe there's the sidebar modern day application that, you know, so much of human temptation isn't, oh, the devil's just lying to me about something. No, the devil may very well be telling you the truth about something. It's just in the wrong context. And so what, you know, you couldn't be, they could not have been tempted by something like, eat rocks, you know, or eat rocks, Jesus. You're hungry, so eat rocks. No, like, make bread out of it. If this is something that you can actually do, it would actually satisfy you. Mm. But it is, in the case of Christ's temptation, it would be Christ using Christ's own capacity on his term, you know, on his own terms, as opposed to on the terms of that for which the Father sent him. So this issue of temptation, right? Like, we're never tempted in some area to which we're not already, you know, inclined. Mm. So this business of the tree, yeah, like, God made it. God didn't make something that was ugly or bad, right? The thing is clearly good for food. It clearly has something in it that would make us more like God. Now, some of you in your translations, the way that the serpent depicts what this tree does is a little bit of a tell. All right? So what does the serpent say exactly to the woman?
Your eyes will be opened, knowing good and evil.
Okay.
You will surely not die, too.
And you will be like God.
Right. You will be like God.
But that first part says, for God knows.
For God knows.
In verse 5.
And it implies he's threatened. It implies that God is threatened by this.
Well.
And at the end,
isn't God threatened by it?
It sounds as if. God,
because God says, whoops, lest, so they've done this, and now, lest they eat of this also, and this goes back to the question, are these things, the capacity of the tree, or is it just something where God arbitrarily says, if you do this, this will happen? Well, this seems to be something that's actually the tree, which is to say, had they eaten of the tree, they wouldn't have died.
The tree of life.
Right? So, that's interesting. Yep.
Well, there's a lot of distinction here as well.
Okay, sure, certainly.
When the Lord says, you eat of that, you're going to die.
True.
The inference is you're going to die right there.
Maybe. I mean, it doesn't, right? God doesn't say.
Right, he doesn't say that. But that's the inference. Like, that's what Eve is getting from this.
Yep.
Then the serpent says, you're not going to die. Meaning, you know, you eat it, you're not going to die right then.
Mm-hmm.
But you are going to die at some point.
Yep.
So that's sort of lost in, that's kind of lost in the translation.
Mm-hmm. And as Brother Dan has just noted, right, God says, in the day that you eat it, you will die. So there's a sense in which they do die. I mean, their bodies don't drop dead. Mm. But this, too, I think, should give us some pause when we go reading the text hyper-literalistically. So that's like, well, it says day, 24-hour day, that means that when they ate it, they should have died. They didn't, therefore God's lying or whatever. So there's clearly some sense in which they do die. And that happens immediately. Their bodies don't drop off, but there does seem to be something in which this tree here, for, you know, God kicks them out so that they don't eat of it, that there's some sense in which this tree could artificially prop them up, almost, right, using, I mean, that is part of the essence of corruption, right? You're using nature against itself, or you're using God's good creation against itself. I mean, that is always the essence of fallenness. Any good thing being corrupted against itself. So let's talk then about why. Where's the dude during all of this? Why is he not talking?
I wanted to say something that's very interesting to me, and maybe to you guys. So we have a new curriculum for Sunday school.
Okay.
And it goes through all the big major stories of the Bible. So in September, I was teaching grade 3 to 5, and this lesson was called The Biggest Lie.
Okay.
Now, I just made a switch and started teaching toddlers, So we started, you know, back at the beginning. And in the big, you know, picture that you're showing the kids while you're telling the story, Eve is all by her little old lonesome, hiding behind the tree because she's naked. And it is clearly an apple tree. And the snake is snaking along.
Yeah.
So that's really making me think about, I mean,
images.
How can I mean, people are four in there, but still, I don't want to be teaching them the wrong thing.
Yeah, and I suppose
just to think about.
Yeah, there's ways where I think people can get ultra hung up on art, you know, one for one or the other, right? In other words, to say, this is the artistic depiction, therefore that's what it was like. Or they could say, well, this artistic depiction bears some historical or textual inaccuracies, and therefore we should utterly dispense with it.
Yeah.
I think in something like that, you can make it a point of conversation. You know, for example, if I see a painting done in the Middle Ages of Noah and his sons building the ark, and there happens to be a castle in the background,
yeah,
an evil
yeah.
castle, right? I'm not going to say, oh, well, we shouldn't look at or we shouldn't value religious art because, see, you know, they had all these anachronisms in it. We assume that human artistic depictions of things like that are going to be just fraught with all kinds of error. But I think thinking about it and talking about it is probably as good a policy as any, or versus just saying, well, here's how it was. I also know from the classroom that you can tell people something and you can explicitly paint it accurately, and they'll nod, and they'll still get it wrong on the test, right? Or they will tell you, I really appreciate how you said that only the woman was in the garden with the serpent and Adam was off by himself, when I had just spent all this time saying that's not the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're always going to screw stuff up, but yeah.
I think for the older kids, oh, sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm thinking for the older kids, when we teach this again, maybe this would be a good opportunity to talk about the fact that some lies are obvious. You know, Dan has a full head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Either Dan.
Sure.
Sorry. Deb Jack is full of wrinkles. Right, was that a better one? but then other lies are, like you said, contain kernels of the truth that make people more susceptible to believing them, I think is a way that maybe I could encourage the teachers next year, or if I'm back teaching the older kids.
Well, sure. Like if I wanted to deceive you, it makes no sense for me to tell you that the sky is orange, because that's obviously not true.
Right.
I should, if I'm being a good deceiver, say as much as possible. Indeed, like every single thing that the serpent says is true, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't die in the day that they eat it. I mean, at least not in a way that they would be able to apprehend.
Right.
God clearly, and I think we retrospectively looking at this can see, yeah, death, right? Death is brought into the world as a result of this. But the fact that they don't understand something in the way that it is given, just like you and I don't understand most of what we get, right? There's, you know, when I say things to my daughter, I might have an understanding of something and she won't get it, but that doesn't mean that it isn't true. It just means she doesn't understand it. But
just a text thing. The NIV doesn't use the word in the day in verse 17, which surprises me. They just say when, which is a little more vague.
Yeah.
But
it is in the day.
It is in the day.
Yeah.
Based on what, the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew?
Yeah. And I think part of it is, you know, some of that, the translators will want to not create confusion, but, you know, my thing is, like, don't, like, this is, if what the text says, put it in there, that's on you to sort through, not to sort of hide. Because, you know, when you get someone who's genuinely curious or thoughtful and they see that, and they're like, well, wait a minute, it says this, doesn't that mean that God got it wrong? No, it just means you're misunderstanding the way you use that word. That means you have to reevaluate what that means, right? So,
Sorry to go off on that tangent, but...
No, not at all, not at all. So I wonder, if the guy is standing there, why is the serpent talking to the woman and not the man? And it is the woman who is responding, not the man. Right. Like, he's just standing. Like, just really imagine this in your head, this scene playing out. Why is that happening in that way? Mm. I have my own speculation. It is purely speculation. But I think that it is related to the last, and I definitely think that it's related to what happens after this, when God sort of, when God shows up.
Maybe she's his weakness. Maybe if he had approached Adam directly, maybe Adam's defenses would have gone up and he would have rejected it. But by going through her, maybe that was a way that it was a weak spot for him.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah,
but think about it.
But as you say, he was standing there.
He's standing right there.
And didn't say anything.
Doesn't say a word. Now imagine, again.
Maybe... No.
Okay.
Well, this comes right after chapter 2,
yeah,
where it says that Adam makes a helper. I mean, that the Lord makes a helper for Adam.
Which we have already seen does not mean little helper.
Right, but in the sense that he gave Adam a job to take dominion over the things of the world, to name them, to take care of them, and he has a helper, somebody to work with him to do the same thing. Because what stands out to me is that in verse 2, the woman says to the serpent, but God did say, you must not eat from, meaning that God said to both her and to Adam, like she received directions from the Lord.
Of course.
So it kind of affirms the fact that it wasn't just like she was made some carbon copy and was just kind of like, you know, la la la. But like,
or his assistant.
Right, right. Both of them were given directives, clearly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
and
very
again,
clearly.
Let's
and
be crystal clear.
That.
The woman is not the assistant of the man, unless the man is also the assistant of the woman. Right? She's
well,
not his assistant.
The Bible verse says that God told Adam, and God appointed Adam as the caretaker of all things. So Adam could have told Eve, now just so you know, this is what we're allowed to do and not do, because that's what God said. We don't really know that for sure, but it's interesting that Satan basically overrules Adam's authority over all creation by going to the woman knowing that Adam is in charge, and instead of Adam asserting himself as Lord over the serpent and the woman, instead he just stands there and lets her run amok.
This is a very interesting point,
yeah,
because if the serpent is part of creation, then Adam
is
Lord
authority over
the serpent.
The other thing is that if you look in chapter 1, it does specifically say that God spoke to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It says God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish. So both of them had authority over creation.
The reading, again, this goes back to last week, which again, you missed all the fun stuff. when we read this word Adam, when we're in the early phases, it is so easy for us mentally to say, that's the dude, that's not the girl. When this word shows up, this is both of them, period, full stop, right? Whether or not you want to take the idea that the original Adam is created both male and female at the same time, and then God splits these apart, or God pulls... Right, the woman out, you know, fashions this out of the side. Either way, this initial creation is said to be the full image of God, male and female.
You
right? There's. Yeah.
You explained that. I'm sorry. For the sake of time, you did thoroughly explain that the 2 weeks ago. But I just wanted to say, in verse 16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded him." I don't know if you have the original.
Mm-hmm.
Version, and that word him may not necessarily be masculine, but it says the Lord God commanded him,
mm-hmm,
you may eat freely from every tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah, then he
pulled
the woman out.
He says to the Ha-Adam,
Yes, yeah, it says to, yeah, the devil.
To the man.
It was at that time,
the human creature.
Not split.
Right, so that is a translation. It's just, yeah, Adam. It's just the human.
So Eve doesn't exist at that time, so his first command was to Adam alone. Does he reiterate his command to both of them?
Or technically, Adam doesn't exist either.
Yeah, Adam wasn't. It's Adam,
it,
so
it's not
both
clear.
Of them.
Yeah, this Adam is indicated to be both male and female.
What about the article you used there? Is it a singular or a plural? You must not eat of it. You may eat freely.
At the time, they're
you
singular.
You will surely die.
Yeah.
At the time, it's one.
Let's pretend
for a minute that
God says this to the male. It's the female who said, God said this to me.
She didn't say, God said this to me. She said, didn't God say?
But she said, God has told us. Right here. God has said, and she actually
God
adds something
said.
That's not in the text.
So I can say Abraham Lincoln said 80 years ago, but it doesn't mean he told it to me directly.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows it.
Yeah.
Right. And I know she knows it. I'm just saying that it wasn't necessarily commanded to her directly.
I have to go back
God.
To that the directive was given before they were split.
Before they were split,
yeah.
Right.
The directive is given before.
The only directive was verse 15 and 2.
Yeah.
And it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it.
And the man is Adam.
Is Adam.
Yeah, and with that, again, this is our English
translation, yeah.
Reading our understanding of, you know.
So there's one being? Is this what you're saying?
Okay,
there's one
but then,
being,
so,
and then the one being was then separated into two genders.
Right.
Yeah, this is
male
something that we,
and
yeah, this
female.
This was the entirety of last week's.
And that's why I was
thing.
Saying
yeah.
It's interesting because in linguistics, a lot of Romance language, historical languages, when you talk about a group of people, you refer to them as a male group,
right.
But it includes women and men.
Well, we
and
do,
then,
too, right? We say mankind.
Some mankind.
You have to
and
draw.
Then, no, but then when even biologically, men are X and Y. And then when you separate it, the women is the X. So, you know what I'm saying? So, they're just, it's basically saying there was Adam, the being,
mm-hmm.
was
okay.
then separated into
because
a male.
We,
and
so,
we take, because the man later after this, right? So, this too, the name Adam, capital A, does not exist until after the fall.
Understood.
Where the male of the species said, I am going to take for myself the name human.
Mm.
That's my name.
But at some point, you need to take it as a literal thing because in verse 18, God says, it's not good for all of humanity to be alone. I will make all of humanity a helper. That doesn't apply here. That doesn't make sense.
I know, because this is an individual creature. It is not good for the human critter to be isolated. So I'm going to make something. And this is when God brings the animals. And it says, none of the animals were able to be this.
Right. Yes.
Okay? So, because none of the animals, and we would say, well, of course not. So this is when God pulls out.
So to me, what it sounds like you're saying is because Eve existed as a rib in Adam, the authority that seemingly was created by God is now equal because she existed in his body as part of it. So, like, my kids are equal to me because at one point they existed in my body.
They're part of your
DNA.
So,
what you're saying is at some point, let's use the word the human race.
Human being.
No, the human race had one person in it.
Correct.
Okay. We call him Adam, right? So, the human race, I guess when God made animals, he didn't make only one fish. He made like a bunch of fish.
Mm-hmm.
But when he made the human race, he made just one creature.
One human.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very odd. I mean, I agree that it's like totally odd. But you have this situation at some point in the text where the human race consists of one person, and then we get two people.
I think it's because of the image of God thing. I think that's why he created one human being versus
mm-hmm.
what he had done with all the animals.
Yeah.
He just
and
created
one
imago Deo.
Is male and female. Like, it's not male and also female. It is male-female. That is what this is. And again, like, and again, this is, all this is stuff that we talked about last week. There's two theories. One is that single creature that is simultaneously male and female, God says it's not good. Because you can't have relationality with one to itself. So God splits it, right? This is the whole idea of this Azer Kenego. it has to be a power that is commensurate to it. It doesn't mean little helper. It's not like helpmate is an inaccurate, that's English. That doesn't mean anything. That's gibberish. If you read the woman as the man's little helper and the man is actually the boss, like that's not in the text. That's like fairy dust. That's made up. If you want to say that God actually made the male first and then split the woman off, then you still have, it becomes even less equal, right? Because things that are made after something else usually are of a higher order. Things that are made out of something are of a higher order than the thing they're made out of. In that case, the woman is more powerful than the male. Like, that's a problem.
Wait a second.
Yeah, like in the creation account, in terms of the order, things that are made after other things are of a higher order.
I would not say that.
The male is, the human is made after the animals.
The child's greater than the man?
No.
Okay. No. All right. No. We'll come back to that.
But again, that's
a student shall be like his teacher, but never greater. There's a Bible verse.
Yeah. These are working theories, right? I'm not saying because I don't agree with
what people
say. Right. I'm just saying these are working theories.
If we just think, we use the word human race. So other places in the Old Testament where Ha Adam is used, the exact same phrase, it means people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it refers to humankind.
Yeah.
And so, but in the beginning, at first, humankind is just happens to be one person.
Yep.
Which is odd,
yep.
but it is.
Right.
And then it gets differentiated male and female.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we get the multiplicity of peoples.
Yeah, and I think, too, this is where people tend to read the woman, like the female of the species, as an afterthought, when it's not, right? It's like, so, to this question of the temptation, again, this is just purely speculation, and it goes back to this idea. If I am trying to, you know, I've thought of it in a military context. Imagine that there is a subversive, and they're trying to talk a general over to from the enemy's side to my side. And the general always has an aide, like a staff sergeant or something, right? And I'm like, I have to bring them, and they both have to be in the room together, right? That's just how it works. Do I try to tempt the staff sergeant when the general is standing there and hope that the staff sergeant will tempt the general? Like, the general can hear everything I'm saying to the staff sergeant. Does that make any sense to you? The only way for this to work is I would speak to the general. The staff sergeant, I'm not even talking to you. Like, who are you? You don't get to talk. The adults are talking. I'm going to tempt the general. The staff sergeant will go whichever way the general goes. Mm-hmm. So if I bring the general over, the general's like, all right, staff sergeant, this is what we're doing. Staff sergeant's like, all right. Okay? Again, this is...
Where you're going, Dan.
Correct. Right? But what I'm saying is this... That kind of a reading, to read this as though the male creature is somehow like far, far away, the woman does this intent, like none of it makes sense. The only way that this works is if these are truly equals, and for whatever reason, this part of the temptation somehow, like the idea of wisdom or, you know, getting knowledge or something like that, if that happens to be the sort of speciality of the female creature, then it would make sense that, like, the male creature is like, all right, well, this is your show. Like, this is like what you do, so I'm just going to hang out. I don't know, right? Like, it's not my area. Because if it were, you'd think that the male would pipe up and say something. But the male doesn't say something. The male just stays silent. This happens. The female gives to the male. The male's like, all right, cool, eats. They both have their eyes open. Again, this is just purely speculation. So don't run off and say, oh, this is exactly how it is.
You're a witch. I'm going to burn you.
What's that?
Heresy. You're a witch.
Well, it's not, right? It's not heresy. It's just, you know, one reading. But what it makes clear, and you see this too in the punishments that are given. I'm not ignoring your hand, Jordan. I'm going to forget this, so don't you forget your point. When you see the punishments give us some indication of what people are supposed to be doing. Okay? So God, first pop quiz, does God curse the humans?
No, yes. He curses the ground.
Right? They don't get it. God curses the serpent, but look in the order that it happens. So it goes from serpent to female to male. The order of questioning goes male, female, serpent. And then the order of cursing goes serpent, female, male. Okay? So God goes, it's like, why did you do this? Again, you could argue it goes up the food chain, though the serpent is clearly below the two of them, right? So it doesn't work perfectly. But the idea being that when God issues the curse, there is an implicit, it used to be this way, but now it's this way. Mm. It used to be this way, but now it's this way. Right? So God says to the serpent, etc., right? You've been naughty. You're going to crawl in the dust, etc. Cursed are you more than anything else, right? To the woman, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. So that says it shouldn't be that way. In pain you shall bring, etc. It's not supposed to be. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Which indicates it's not supposed to be that way. Mm. And now, you could, again, this is where you can get into wackadoodle land. So don't, but I'm just saying, like, this is why it's important to say stuff and just, you know, not hide from this. You could argue, based on that, the woman actually was the ruler. And that's why the guy couldn't say anything, because she's in charge. Again, I am not saying this.
No, but it is an interesting point you make. If they are equal, which was never what I was taught, if they're equal to begin with, and then God says he'll rule over you, that makes sense curse. That he would say that. So I always wondered, well, why would God say that if he already was ruling over? He didn't change anything.
Yeah, you can't read.
So,
male dominion is part of the fall.
Yeah. That's the idea, is that it used to be, right, you can't have one part of the image equals. Is more the image of God. They're equal. Now, it's broken.
Okay?
So it is clear, whatever happened, the female of the species participated in getting the male of the species to do this. But that's not to say, oh, well, you know, one of them is sort of more dominant than the other, or whatever, right? Because you could read that to say, well, she's clearly the boss, right? And there are whole lines of thought historically that say, well, that's actually how it happened. I would reject that. I would say, no. They're equal, but the fact that there is now a broken relationship between them so that the man, right, it's a man's world. Well, it's like, no, it's the human's world. They both have authority. They're both rulers, right? But the fact that this gets broken is built into this, even this moment here, where one of them is deciding, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to make the call and do this. And I'm going to pull you into this. Well, why would they? Why would the man not go along with the woman? Right? They're equals. So, of course, like, if you're doing this...
I'd like to be asked first.
Right. But it's like, you know, standing there...
You know, if you consulted with me, maybe I would say, okay, I'll do it.
That is a good point. She could have said, Adam, what do you think about this? I mean, God did say we shouldn't, but this talking snake, we've never seen a talking snake before.
I like consultations.
And again, you know, like, there's all kinds of readings, you know, you could speculate that... Like the male, right, you have the idea of Sophia, like wisdom as some aspect of the divine, and logos is the male aspect of the divine. But here, the wisdom of humanity is invoking action on the part of the logos to fall, right? Like, whatever, right? You can get out in the weeds on this. But the point being, there is a brokenness now, and for the man, right, that I'm going to curse the ground because of you. The earth was designed to sort of just yield its bounty to you freely. Now you have to sort of slave away and do all this stuff. You have to grind. So you see that in this falling, God isn't cursing the humans, but the humans nevertheless are bearing an actual consequence, right? There's a punishment that takes place for the woman. There's this pain in the yielding forth of life, and there's this brokenness with respect to the male-female relationship. For the man, it goes, you know, you now have to grind, and what's the word?
I had a word for it some time back ago, but I
like toil, right?
And even the world itself is broken. And then you do have this thing, you know, God says, well, look, now we have a problem. They've eaten, they have become more like us. Now, lest they take of this fruit here and eat, which again, I would say, tells us that this the properties of the trees belong to the trees. They're not just arbitrary. Yeah, Jordan, sorry.
Yeah, if I may, I wanted to point out maybe a different perspective.
Sure.
That it was not good for man to be alone. I would think that is part of the reason why he created man alone. To point that out, in paradise, the only thing that wasn't perfect was man alone. Mm-hmm. He needs a companion. So God creates Eve. It doesn't mean that there's some kind of differentiation between, like, oh, she's superior because she came out of the inferior mm-hmm. argument. I mean, there's and when you're looking at the fall, there's an element where Adam abdicated his responsibility to his wife. It wasn't that she was superior or I'm arguing that I don't even know that they're equal in that circumstance, because there is an element where when you look at the curse, he will rule. You will desire him, mm-hmm. but he will rule over you. There's an element where there's that desire to grasp for that when she didn't have it before. Now there's an element where I want to usurp the authority of man, but you will be frustrated from that for eternity. You will never achieve that, but it will always be a struggle for you. It will always be a temptation for you, and you won't shake it. And only the Holy Spirit is the one that can free you from that desire to grasp for what is not yours. Unlike Jesus, who did not do that. He did not grasp.
Yeah, but in that case, right, if that's the case, then that means I would actually submit grasping is, I don't know a human who doesn't grasp after that. Like, to me,
but you also don't, you don't know a human who isn't fallen, too.
Exactly, right? So I would say that the everything that God says in this, this is what it will be, indicates that this is a broken variation of what was before, right? So, again, the notion that, and I would agree that God didn't make a mistake in making the human isolated, right? God says it's not good, and the fact that God brings the animals to see if they will be this Ezer Kenegno is not for God's benefit, it is for the benefit of the human mm-hmm. to understand this, and again, that even the, you know, the sort of aid there, the help, isn't, as we noted last week, it's not a little helper. It's only used of a power that is at least as strong as you, and most of the time stronger, right? Again, I don't take the view that the female is automatically the stronger of the two. But the text makes clear, at no point is the female the inferior. You could say the male abdicated, but the male,
there's a lesson to learn here.
Oh my goodness, we're almost
the lesson to learn here is when God called that the man was going to rule over the woman, the man should know that he is supposed to be obedient to God before listening to the woman. Why? What happened to Abraham with Sarah? Big mistake. Oh, go sleep with a slave and have a kid because I cannot give you a kid. What's happened this until this day, the Muslims and the Hebrews?
Okay.
What happened to when God told them Lot to get out of the land and not look back, and the woman decided not to listen but looking back? Mm-hmm. So the lesson to learn is, you love your wife, but you listen to God first before listening to your wife. I mean, your woman has an idea. You present the idea to the Lord first. God, is this the right thing to do? Because, I mean, she's a helper, but sometimes she makes the wrong choice. We pay the consequences.
And vice versa, right?
Like, yes,
the opposite is also true.
But so, listening to the Lord comes first than listening to somebody else's idea.
Sure, yeah. And I mean, I mean, you've got passages where it's the other way as well, right? Where it's the woman who, like,
listen to God, don't listen to what the dude says, right? So,
so I guess for next week, the question is John 3:16 the redeeming aspect to Genesis 3:16?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, right? Like, that's the thing. This is the setup for all of human history, which is part of why it's important to dig this deeply, because if we cannot even figure out what the human being is to begin with, and the world is, the cosmic order is to begin with, then, like, you can't understand what the fallen state is, and you can't understand what the redeemed state is supposed to get us to.
Well, I have to say, I had a lot of pain in childbirth, so even though Jesus came and died for me, it certainly didn't decrease my birth pains.
Well, of course, yeah. No, I would say the fact, too, like, we die. Jesus coming doesn't mean you live forever. Like, there is the fallen consequence is not something that is taken away just because Jesus shows up. Jesus redeems that moment, but Jesus doesn't take it away any more than Jesus takes away my ignorance when I come into faith. Like, I bring all the nonsense that I grew up with, all the nonsense, right? My IQ doesn't raise because Jesus lives in me. Jesus redeems my IQ. Jesus redeems the situation that I come into. And in that sense, those things, yeah, they're not unmade because they are a natural product of this situation. That is something that the Eastern Church heavily emphasizes, this notion that Christ is at work in the redemption of the things, not magically wiping it away, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Lazarus died again, right? Like, that's good stuff.
Let's go.
Yeah, have a good one.
Pray?
Someone want to pray us out real quick?
Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, just for the opportunity to have clarity and to talk and go deeper in your word. We praise you for this word as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.